Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 24. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Psalm 24, verse 1. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. We just pray again, Lord, the unction of the Holy Spirit on your word, that it would change our perspective in Jesus' name. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord and all its fullness. You got King James, I think it says the fullness thereof, right? The world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hills of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? That's a fancy way of saying who gets to go to heaven, isn't it? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to idols nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Now, the psalmist said, the earth is the Lord's. God made it all. God owns it all. God can do whatever he wants to with it all. Pretty much his. He gets the last word. Then the next question is, who gets to go be with God? And then it sets these high standards. He who's, you know, perfect, has never sinned, basically, which we all have. But then it kind of culminates, who seeks his face. I'm glad that Jesus found me, because I didn't find him. I was lost. He wasn't lost. And through his salvation, I have God's salvation, and now I get to seek his face. So now that I am in that position as a born-again believer and that I seek his face, verse 7 tells me what I need to do. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Amen. That's Jesus. Jesus is the King of glory. I want to talk a little bit this morning about verse 7. Lift up your head, O ye gates. In the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, it says, thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord. Very soon, God is getting ready to shake every foundation that can be shaken. My foundation, your foundation, the foundation of nations. And the purpose of this is to bring the glory of God into my house and your house inside. I don't want religion. Religion killed Indira Gandhi and plowed planes into the World Trade Center. Religion hates people. But the glory of God fills our hearts, our temple, and gives us such a great experience. We get to experience God before we get to go to heaven. And so he told us to lift up our gates. Well, what is that? What is a gate? Why is that? What does that have to do with me? There's five kinds of gates in the Bible, literal gates. There's gates of cities and towns, and gates where criminals are punished, and there's the gates of Jerusalem, the gates of the temple, and finally the gates of death or hell. I want to focus on this fourth one, the gates of the temple. In Ezekiel 43:4, we read, and the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. The glory of God came into the house by way of the gate. I don't think you heard me. The glory of God came into the house by way of the gate. Now you say, if you're not thinking spiritual, you're not getting this. But I am the house. I am the house. Remember Jesus told the Pharisees, destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. They thought he was talking about the physical temple. He was talking about the temple of his body. My body is the house that I live in. Paul compared this body to a tent and said, one day I'm going to move out of my tent, move into my mansion. My glorified body is going to be so much better than my physical body. Amen. And I'm going to look like Charles Atlas too. But the glory of the Lord came into the house by way of the gate, the east gate. Well, I want the glory in my house. So what is the east gate? In Ezekiel 44:11, it says, yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge at the gate of the house and ministering to the houses. They shall slay the burnt offerings and the sacrifice of the people, and they shall stand before them ministering unto them. Ministers having charge of the gate. You know, you're in charge of your gates. You're the minister in charge of your gate. You say, I don't even know what you're talking about, Brother Roger. I'm getting there. Hang with me. Symbolic gates. Psalm 118, 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. There is a gate of righteousness. Open to me the gates of righteousness. Matthew 7:14. Jesus said, because straight or narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life or salvation, few there be that find it. So in this particular instance, the gate is the pathway to Jesus Christ. Isaiah 62:10, go through the gates, prepare ye the way for the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the ends of the world, say ye to the daughters of Zion, behold, thy salvation comes. Behold, is his reward with him and his works before him. And they're saying, go through the gate. The Lord is coming. His reward is with him. Go through the gate. So what does all this mean? Lift up your head, O ye gates. Jesus said in Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye is single, thy whole body will be full of light. And so we see that the gate of my understanding is the eye. It's the light of my body. Light can't come in until I see the light. We used to sing the old song, I saw the light, right? Now, understanding, it's a spiritual perception, not a physical perception, right? Our eye becomes the gate to our soul, just as the gate of the temple was its entrance. And when you think of that in reference to the Haggai scripture, that the glory of the Lord is going to come into the temple by way of the gate. Amen? Now, of course, Jesus said, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. He talked about getting the mote out of your eye. In Revelation, he says, you think you can see, but you're blind. You need to buy eye salve for your eye, right? And so what the church needs is a spiritual prescription for glasses to begin to see God the way God wants us to see him, amen? So that we can see him and perceive him and experience the glory of God in the house, amen, through the gate. And so now the psalmist is saying, lift up your head, O ye gates. Hang on. Wait for it. You'll get it in a minute. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. There is, once you're born again, there is nothing to stop God's glory from coming in except you and your position and your perspective. Amen. Psalm 121, Nola demonstrated it for us earlier. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Let's say that together. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. How did this psalm start out? The Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He made heaven and earth. The psalmist understands that. And so if I want the glory of God, I've got to change my perspective and begin to get my eyes on God, because God is going to fill this house. Praise God. Job 35:5. You know, Job says things so simple you think, why didn't I think of that? I mean, the book of Job is just full of plain stuff that has supernatural meaning. Job 35:5. Look into the heavens and see, and behold the clouds, which are higher than you. Wow. Every meteorologist knows the clouds are higher than me. But when I put the spiritual perspective on it, when I begin to fasten my eyes above the poverty and the pain and the despair of this world, then I see the clouds are higher than me, that God's ways are higher than me, that God's understanding is higher than me. And why am I looking at this when I can be looking at that? Why am I thinking about this thing when I can be looking at that? Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Wait a minute. Psalm 34. Well, Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. David was known as a man after God's own heart, and he understood that it was his responsibility to lift up his eyes unto the Lord. Psalm 34, 5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Have you ever talked to someone about the Lord who knew that they weren't right with the Lord? I don't want to talk about that. I used to talk to my mom. My mom was raised in a Pentecostal holiness church. One time when I was in Abilene, Texas, me and a couple of guys, we went in the barracks. A couple of guys in the barracks with their headbanger music playing real loud. And this guy, Jay, that was with me, he goes, hey, we're going to this dynamic conference with this dynamic speaker. It's a satellite feed, and it was a satellite feed of Marilyn Hickey. Remember Marilyn Hickey in the day? Satellite feed. You guys, you got to hear this lady. Okay. They were like two long-tailed cats in a room full of rocking chairs through the whole service. But when you get your eyes on the prize, when you begin to fasten your eyes on him who to know is life eternal, then the glory of God will fill the temple. Isaiah 40, verse 26, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things that bring out their hosts by number? He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one fails. God never has failed once. His word has never failed. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. I mean, we are witnessing the last day events being fulfilled in the headlines before our eyes. God is God. God don't never change. So, Jehoshaphat. I love the story of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the king of Jerusalem along her Israel a long time ago. I can't do Jehoshaphat without reciting the lyrics to Don Francisco's song. So if it sounds like I'm a great poet, I'm just telling you the song. Jehoshaphat was king of Jerusalem a long time ago when the people of Judah all worshiped the Lord from the high on down to the low. And Judah was a wealthy kingdom, and everybody's children were fed because Jehoshaphat studied the word of the Lord and did everything he said. Out of the east came an army one day after Jehoshaphat's goal, and they were marching straight for Jerusalem. Jehoshaphat was told. So he called all the people together, and everybody fasted and prayed. And the Lord God answered the people and said, there's no need for you to be afraid. He said, the battle is mine tomorrow, it's not yours, and it's not the king, so all you got to do is just stand and watch and see the salvation I bring. And they were singing, praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. You see, here's what Jehoshaphat did. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. Jehoshaphat got it. He got his eye off the problem and his eyes on God. I said it again. He got his eyes off the problem and got it on God. He got his eyes off of his understanding, his intellect, his rationality, and he just got his eyes on God, and God won the victory. Amen. God defeated the enemy. God became God because did God stop being good? God only stops being God to you when you get your eyes on your problem instead of God. Amen? But if you lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting door, the King of glory will come in. And then God will be God for you. Hallelujah. So our biggest problem is not our problem, but our perspective. Say that with me. My biggest problem is not my problem, but my perspective. It's where am I looking? You know, one of my mentors, Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel out in California, recently went to be with the Lord. His mother was pregnant with him when he was before he was born. And he had a baby sister who died. And his mother and dad didn't know the Lord. She snatched up this child and went running to the nearest church, which was a four-square church in California. And the pastor had enough wisdom to say to the woman, get your eyes off that baby and get your eyes on God. And when he calmed her down and said, get your eyes on God, get your eyes on Jesus, and I'll pray. And he prayed, and God raised that child from the dead. And the mom and dad went on serving the Lord, and she dedicated her unborn child to Jesus Christ. Like the story of Samuel, and Pastor Chuck was used mightily. The 70s hippie movement, all those people getting saved out in California. It was a tremendous story because somebody got their eyes on Jesus instead of the problem. Our biggest problem is our perspective. Nebuchadnezzar. We read Nebuchadnezzar not too long ago in Sunday school, didn't we? Daniel 4:34. And at the end of the day, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. You see, sometimes we get the cart ahead of the horse. We want to understand God without getting our eyes on God. But the formula is get your eyes on God, and then your understanding will return to you. And God, you remember the story, God had made Nebuchadnezzar go out of his mind, and he went out and he ate grass like an animal, and the dew of heaven fell on him for seven time periods. But then he said at the end of that, I lifted up my eyes to heaven, and then my understanding returned to me. If you're having trouble understanding some things in your life, why am I going through this? What's going on? I got good news. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Now, you might say to me, well, Brother Roger, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm going through. Well, are you dead? I mean, have you died? You haven't died yet, right? I feel like it sometimes. You're not dead yet. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Even if you are dead, see, the God I serve is bigger even than death. Lazarus was dead. And John 11:41 says, and they took away the stone from its place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes. If Jesus has to lift up his eyes, how much more do we? They took the stone away. Lazarus is still dead. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you hear me. Do you know that every word you've ever prayed to God, he heard you? Hallelujah. Don't you think God doesn't hear you? Don't you think God doesn't know? Your problem is not that God can't hear. Your problem is your perspective. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Get your eyes back on God. God's getting ready to do a miracle. Amen. God's getting ready to raise the dead. God's getting ready to cleanse you. God's getting ready to heal you. God's getting ready to do a miracle in your life if you will just get your eyes on God. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. He didn't say might. He didn't say, I hope he will. He said he will. He will come in. Well, you might say to me, well, dead people don't hurt, but I'm hurting. They were getting ready to stone Stephen. They were gnashing their teeth and picking up stones, getting ready to bash him in real good. How many of you guys read that story in the book of Acts? In Acts 7:55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. And he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He had his perspective right. He wasn't saying, God, you don't love me. They're about to hit me with rocks. He wasn't looking at the rocks. He wasn't looking at the men with the rocks. He had his eyes on the prize. He had lifted up his head, O ye gates, and the King of Glory was coming in. He didn't die. The Bible says they began to throw rocks, and he just curled up and said, Father, forgive him, and he fell asleep and woke up in heaven. What can man do to me? Get your eyes on the Lord. It's going to be all right. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory will come in. Hallelujah. You might say to me, but I just don't understand all this stuff. The disciples were confused. They said in Acts chapter 1, after the resurrection, Lord, is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Not for you to know the time of the season the Father's placed in his head, but you'll have power when the Holy Ghost comes on you. And then Jesus ascended up, and they watched him. Are you catching this? Yeah. What are we going to do now? I don't know. They'd probably still been standing there today if the angel hadn't showed up. You goofy men of Israel. Why are you standing there gazing into heaven? This same Jesus shall come again in like manner. Get your eyes on the... He's coming. The eastern sky. Is that, yeah, that's east. He's going to split the eastern sky. He's coming through the eastern gate. This is the eastern gate. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. The King of Glory will come in. Amen. Nola, come on up. Hallelujah. Now, praise God. Nebuchadnezzar had to lift up his eyes, and then the understanding came. Hallelujah. Jesus had to lift up his eyes to heaven, and then dead Lazarus came out of the grave. Stephen lifted up his eyes and saw Jesus. How many of you guys, I know, Viola, you probably heard that great old song, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. I love that song. We need to find that. My problem is not God. My problem is not my problems. My problem is my perspective. Say that with me. My problem is my perspective. I've got my eyes on the wrong thing. God wants to bring the glory into my house. He wants to. He's ready. I just need to change my perspective. I need to get my eyes on the God that is more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask, hope, or think. I need to change my perspective. Stand with me if you would. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're here this morning and you say, pray for me, Brother Roger. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Pray for me, Brother Roger, because I have been guilty of looking at my problems instead of God. I've been guilty of focusing on my problems instead of God. Just slip your hand up and back down so I can pray for you. Come on. Surely, yes. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? You can put them down. I see your hands. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? You know, it's okay. It doesn't mean you're anything less than I am. We're all human, and we all get our eyes on our problems. It's normal. It's not normal to live there, though. And so the first thing I have to do is repent. Because anytime I put my problem above God, that's idolatry, isn't it? So I have to repent and say, God, forgive me. So let's take care of that first. Father, for those that lifted their hands or those that didn't, Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we get our problem as our God, that we make our problem bigger than God. We get our eyes on that instead of you. Forgive us, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. And now the second thing is, how do I change my perspective? How do I do it? How do I change my perspective? I need to look at what the Bible says other men did. I need to find examples in scriptures, and I need to rehearse those in my mind. I need to be ready so that when the problems, and they will come, when they come, that I recognize what's going on, how the devil is trying to tempt me to get my eyes on the problem, and I need to be able to look past that, to lift up my eyes to heaven from where comes my help. Heaven, to the source of all things. Heaven, to the God that made heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. Heaven, where Jesus sits at the right hand of God, where Stephen saw him. Heaven, that is, the clouds are above me. It's above my knowledge. It's above my understanding. I can't try to understand it. I just got to accept it. Heaven, the answer to every problem in my life. God is there. I've got to focus my perspective there. I've got to focus my perspective where it needs to be. God is there and is waiting to fill my temple with glory. If I can just get my eyes where they need to be. Help me, God. Help me, God. I am asking you to help me today to get my eyes on you again. The third thing is remembering that he who can fill the temple is coming back again. You know, I want my temple full of God's glory when he returns. I want my temple full of God. You men of Galilee, stand gazing. This same Jesus is coming again. He is not a political figure like in the political races. He is not politically correct. And he's not coming back to be beaten and ostracized. He's coming back as King of Kings and Governor of Governor and Lord of Lords. And he will rule and reign planet Earth for 1,000 years. This same Jesus is coming again. How much more do I need to be on the winning side with my eyes on him? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, as we close today, we thank you that the victory is ours, that the glory can be ours if we will lift up our heads, lift up our eyes, lift up our gates, and let the King of Glory come in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.